When we hear the story from the Gospel of Luke of the Samaritan leper who returns to Jesus to give him thanks, we see the act of a single man revealing the heart of Christian faith. Gratitude at the feet of Jesus. It's what we all need in good times and in hard times. One day, Jesus meets 10 lepers. Instead of calling out with the prescribed warning, "Unclean, we are unclean," the 10 lepers go off script. Instead, they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he does. He tells them to go to the priests, which is what you're supposed to do if you're a leper cured of leprosy, in order to get the inspector's approval that you're clean and welcome back into society. We're told nothing of how they feel about this instruction, but away they go, and as they go, they are miraculously made clean. We don't hear another word from 9 of them, but one of them returns to Jesus and falls down on his face at Jesus' feet and thanks him. This act of thanksgiving to someone who changed your life so completely seems so generically appropriate that it could be easy to overlook and just focus on why those others didn't come back and do the same. Jesus even asks, "Were not 10 cleaned? Where are the other 9? They were not found. Only one prostrate at his feet. "Arise, go your way," Jesus told him. "Your faith has made you well." Gratitude is manifestly central to Christian life. And yet, in the 4 Gospels, for all the miracles and wonderful things that happen to so many people, there are only 3 who give thanks. Only 3. People give praise or give witness or are amazed, but only 3 give thanks. And the first is dubious, a Pharisee who says to God, "Thank you that I'm not like those other people." So I'm not sure that one even counts. The second is Jesus, who gives thanks when he breaks bread to feed the crowds on the hillside. And who gives thanks when he breaks bread to feed his disciples at the Last Supper. He took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And the third is a Samaritan leper, cleansed, healed, made whole, who spontaneously returns to Jesus and falls on his face at his feet. This picture right here is the heart of everything for us. In an era when the Protestant Reformation sparked all kinds of hotly debated liturgical and ecclesial reforms, Martin Luther, who was right at the center of the storm, was asked to cut to the chase. What is the nature of true worship, he was asked. His answer? The 10th leper turning back to Jesus. That is the nature of true worship. Rowan Williams says of gratitude, "When we say thank you to God, we connect our own experience with God as giver. We say that what has happened to us is somehow rooted in the gift of God." When Jesus gives thanks at the Last Supper before the breaking and spilling, before the wounds and the blood, it is as if he is connecting the darkest places of human experience with God, the giver. As if he is saying that even in these dark places, God continues to give, and therefore we must continue to give thanks. In everything, the heart of worship is the heart of gratitude. On our covenant day, we have much for which to give thanks. In this past year, we have participated in God's holy work within us and among us. Friendships have been born. Babies have been dedicated to the Lord. Couples joined in marriage. New Christians baptized. Prayers lifted. Children taught about Jesus. We have had our homes broken open to strangers who become brothers and sisters. We have prepared and shared meals. So many of us have been part of the quiet work of the church, the cleaning, the weeding, the mowing, preparing lessons, and on and on and on. Our work is our prayer. Our prayer is our work. It has been so very good. And we have seen the darkness too. We've buried saints. We've wondered if broken hearts would heal. Families have suffered through trials. In joy and agony, we've fallen time and time again at the feet of Jesus. In the light and in the darkness, we give thanks to God. And we've learned to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." When the sun's shining down on me, when the world is all as it should be, blessed be the name of the Lord. On the roads marked with suffering, when there's pain in the offering, still, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Samaritan's witness shows that we give praise to God via our grateful submission to Jesus as Master and Lord. And the fitting location to offer such praise is the feet of Jesus. We come to His feet as those who have been healed and as those who are being healed. The thanksgivings of Jesus and the Samaritan's spontaneous act of worship at the feet of Jesus became central for Christians from earliest days. The New Testament Greek word for giving thanks in these stories took root among Christians and became the earliest and most widespread name for what we do when we come to the Lord's table. When we come for communion, the earliest name given to it, Eucharisteo, Eucharist. It means thanksgiving. At the table of our Lord, we bring with us all that is within us, giving thanks in our joy and our sorrow, our fears, our hope, our doubts, our faith, our sense of being lost, and our most profound sense of belonging. We bring it all with us. William says, when we come as guests at God's table, the church becomes what it is meant to be, a community of strangers who have become guests together and are listening together to the invitation of God. The church at table is the preeminent sign of our need for Jesus, His abundant mercy, our collective sharing in the goodness of God, and our Eucharisteo, our thanksgiving. Like a lot of people, I used to think that Eucharist, or communion, was a kind of afterthought in the worshiping life of a church. Growing up, it was surprising to come through the church doors to see the little cups and the little wafers in the trays on the table in the front. I guess we had communion about once a quarter, about four times a year, like a lot of churches. But my attitude has changed. For the last several years, I've been celebrating communion just about every Wednesday evening in our chapel with whoever's able to come for Wednesday evening prayer. After a dark season in my own life, I knew I needed the table. Not because I was feeling particularly thankful every week, but because I needed to simply be a participant in something holy that itself could possibly work God's healing and saving in the lives of those who come humbly. If the feet of Jesus is where our faith makes us well, the table is as close to the feet of Jesus as I could find to bring as much faith as I had to the one who makes us whole. So, I just started celebrating every Wednesday with whoever was here to join me. Usually it's a pretty small group, but that has never mattered. Every week I stand at the table and break the bread and lift high the cup. And it's never gotten old. It's never gotten stale, even though I admit the bread has a couple of times. It's never been taken for granted. I was once told you should only have communion just a few times a year or it won't be special. I guess I used to believe that, but I don't anymore. It's even more meaningful to me now. A return to the sacred simplicity of my need for grace, my gratitude for the gift of grace that God gives freely and abundantly. And for my brothers and sisters whom I serve and from whom the bread of life is placed in my open hands every week. Breaking the bread and eating it each week has helped me love God and move my prayers from not just thoughts in my head or feelings in my heart into my whole body and into my hands and feet with which in the name of Jesus I can serve the world. At the table, at the feet of Jesus, the living incarnate Word becomes part of us, and we become part of His life by the Holy Spirit. As we renew our covenant together today, the spirituality animating this congregation is, as it has always been, a Eucharistic spirituality. We come in celebration with thanksgiving for the goodness of God made known in Jesus, and in the power of worship to renew and transform us. We come in contemplation with a prayer of reflection in God's holy presence, as we are made more aware of God's faithfulness and love. We come renewed in mission to share in the life and ministry of the Lord in a broken world. While perhaps we cannot, like the leper, fall at the feet of our incarnate Lord to give Eucharisteo, we can come to the Eucharist table, where Jesus promised to meet us as He broke the bread, saying, "This is my body," and held the cup to us, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." This is where we remember if everything else in our lives causes us to forget. We come to the feet of Jesus and His hands and His words and His heart, and then we remember who we are. Who are we? We are made the very body of Christ. You are loved. You are holy. You are a sinner saved by grace. You are forgiven, and you can learn to forgive. You belong. You are a person for whom we give thanks. And you can learn to live with heartfelt gratitude renewed at the table of grace. I don't know about you, but I need that reminder a lot more and more and more as I long to hear those words again and again. Arise, your faith has made you well. Thanks be to God. Let us prepare our hearts to come to the table of our Lord. Amen.